Welcome to today's fellowship-wide call. It is a BDA speaker meeting, and it's presented by the Business Debtors Anonymous Committee of Debtors Anonymous. My name is Greg. I am a debtor from Stamford, Connecticut. Our first speaker is Robin from Costa Rica. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Thank you, God. And please speak through me in a way that is a blessing to people. Thank you. I'm Robin P., sometimes known as Robin BP. I'm married. And I currently live in Costa Rica. I'm a grateful recovering debtor and successful business owner. My solvency date is April 14th, 2019. And my home group is the Wednesday 7:30 a.m. Fairfield, Connecticut DA meeting. I'm also the GSR for that meeting. And I'm very grateful to be speaking. And I feel like I'm so eternally grateful for this program. Really touching. I grew up in a lot of child abuse, in a very traumatic childhood. Just a lot of abuse in every way. And my mother, her picker was broken. She kept marrying rageaholic, sex addict, alcoholic types over and over. And I just felt like I was trying to survive trauma. I was also born with a lot of gifts. I believe we're all born with gifts that we're meant to use to be a blessing to God and each other. And I have this huge singing voice that I was born with. And it's 3.5 octaves, can do anything. I literally came out of the womb with this thing. And at 3, I said to my mother I was going to be on Broadway. And that's what happened. And I think that some of us come in to do certain things. So I went to New York to go to NYU. And I got cast as a famous pop star's little sister on Broadway in a show that was a hit. And I was having all of these debt issues. My dad, I think, was a debtor, even though he was a very successful orchestra conductor. He passed away this year. And so he disowned me for going to New York, to going to NYU. And so there I was in the financial aid office saying, I need financial aid. And they said, well, your numbers, your father, you know, it's too wealthy for you to get financial aid. And I said, but he disowned me for coming to New York and going to NYU. He said I would get raped and that would destroy him, like all about him. And they said, well, he has to legally disown you. And I was sitting there crying in the legal aid office, in financial aid office. And then I got cast on Broadway, and Broadway paid for my education, and I graduated. Thank God. And it was just a miracle. I feel like sometimes I've had these 11th hour miracles that have saved me. I believe that's happened a lot. I just get to keep having that faith, that patient faith, that faith walk. So then I went to another show and co-starred with some other famous pop star. And I did not believe in God. I was raised as an atheist. My dad was an atheist. And this was a biblical musical, and I had a spiritual awakening during it, which of the profound variety, which led me to believe in God. And it's so funny because I had everything. We closed in New York and went on the road. I had fancy hotel rooms, great reviews, you know, standing ovations, limo, you know, just everything I could have ever wanted, lots of money. And I had this hole in my heart, this God-shaped hole. And I asked and God answered, because I realized I still felt the same inside, and it didn't fill it up. And so I had this very profound experience that changed my life. And I now call God, God. Sometimes Holy Spirit. And so, and I believe in angels and all of this help that I've experienced in my life. And part of that are the 12 steps. So I went to onto another show, and then I went on the road with that show. And being on the road, I made more money because you made a salary and also money to live on. So, but I was so afraid of the IRS. And this is so, that fear false evidence appearing real, you know, F everything and run. I was so afraid that the IRS was going to take all my money because I was making a lot of money that I spent it. And I didn't know. Thank you. I didn't know to ask. I didn't know to ask for help. I thought I had to figure it all out myself. And I always remember now that illness and isolation begin with I, and wellness begins with we. And the more we I have, the better I do in my life. And that's been really true for me. I want to always go do things alone in the corner. That's the disease for me. Ta-da! And say, look what I did. And it doesn't work doing it alone. It is never, that's the definition of insanity for me, wanting to do it alone. And it's pride. And it's also, you know, I grew up in so much shame that I, you know, I felt so vulnerable every time I asked for help. And so what I've learned and I practice today is positive vulnerability is the antidote to shame. And even when I feel like, oh my gosh, I have to ask for help. Oh my gosh, this feels really vulnerable. I'm going to put videos out there. I'm singing again and I'm putting videos out there and it feels so vulnerable. I feel really naked and it's okay. You know, I feel embarrassed, you know what I mean? But I get to keep practicing. So a producer heard me sing and asked me to come to Nashville, and I wrote and recorded a recovery album. He didn't know it was going to be a recovery album, but that's what I did. And because I got 12 steps into a different program, and I wrote and recorded this recovery album, and it was in Nashville, and we were going to do it under a gospel label. And at the time, I had all the top people helping me, and at the time, it was in the early 90s, and every Christian label said, we're Christians. We don't have divorce. We don't have abuse. We don't have addiction. We're not doing that. And it's changed now. But so I went and did it myself and went on the road myself and did this one-woman show. And then I decided that I wanted to move to California, that if I was ever brave enough, I'd buy a car and I would practice driving because I didn't have a car in New York City, and driving across America. And I did that, and I got a regular day job, and I married my husband, and oh my gosh, I kept backburning my self-care. And I was sitting at a desk. I had a stepdaughter, two little dogs named Hope and Faith, who are now in heaven, and a husband. And I kept saying, my self-care has always been so important to me. I kept backburnering it. And I thought, I need something in my life to wake me up positively instead of these voices in my head that were so the disease. And so I invented something. I invented these motivational alarm clock messages with all these famous thought leaders who start and end your day positively inspired instead of, which is so bad for you neurologically. And I worked so hard alone. I was a solopreneur working alone. I got some investment, and my husband was helping me. He's also in the program now. And we were, you know, we mortgaged, we took a loan out on the house, which we paid off. But it was so stressful. And I invented something to help myself. And this was a pattern for me, is I invented things that helped everyone else. Was so grateful. They loved it. Oh, my gosh, thank you. And I was miserable because I was overgiving and under-receiving, and that to me is debting. And I was such an under-earner. It's okay. I don't need to make money. I just need to be a blessing to you. You know, oh my gosh, that is so wrong for me today. And I'm so grateful that I know that self-care is important, and it's a wheel, and it's just as important that I give as I receive. And it's just as important that I receive as much as I give. And so that's been a life lesson for me. So I got a licensing deal from a famous company, and then I didn't ask for enough money because I was doing it alone. And so then my husband and I went through a really hard time, and we didn't have enough support, and we were both not in DA. Yet or anything like that. And we got divorced in LA. We got divorced and we really missed each other. And so a year later, my husband asked me to go to church with him on Christmas Eve. And I heard God say, thank you. I heard God say, Merry Christmas. This is my gift to both of you. And we started dating. We moved in together. And I proposed the second time. Thankfully, he said yes. And we got remarried during the L.A. California wildfires of 2018, which we did not plan. And we got stuck behind a wall of fire, this amazing angel police lady screaming out her window, out now, because Google Maps doesn't know when there's a fire and kept sending us into the fire. Our friend's house, where we were having our wedding reception, burned down to the ground the night before our wedding in Bell Canyon. Our honeymoon resort burned down to the ground the night before our wedding. So we had our second wedding. We had the wedding reception and our honeymoon at our church rectory. And I feel like the first marriage, we spiritually went through the fires. The second one, we literally went through the fires. We moved to Florida, and then we went through hurricanes. I invented something else during that year we were apart. And I came into a different 12-step program, and my husband came into a different 12-step program, and we got mercy and grace and a second chance. And we grew up during that year apart, and we became who we were meant to be in our relationship together. And I'm very happily, gratefully married. It's been 20 years now together. So then I invented something. It was great. I went through hell. I had three manufacturers, and this is when I went into debt. Really, like $115K. I had 20 investors, and I still didn't ask for enough money. And the manufacturers were hellacious. Every time, the second round, my husband assembled 1,000 of the products in the garage by himself with me helping him. That was the disease. And the third round, it was amazing how much people were loving it and how we went through so much hell with these manufacturers who just didn't, like 15% came out broken. And I had interest from all these different, I couldn't do it because I couldn't trust the manufacturing. And I ended up letting go of the company, holding on to the patents. And Broadway was so much easier than inventing for me. Oh my gosh. And if I ever find a trustworthy manufacturer for me, I would do it again. But not until then. And also much more funding, doing it as a we, you know, just so many lessons learned. And what I also learned during that time, I wrote and recorded another album, and I
13.
Learned, thank you. How many minutes? 13. Okay. I learned that I needed help, and I got into this program and into BDA. And I, 5.5 years ago, I paid off all the debt with God's grace and this program. And was solvent. I'm debt-free and solvent. I literally thought I was going to die of stress. And And I thought that the world was going to end. And I'm so grateful. What happened was I got into recovery. I started asking for help, got PRGs, got a sponsor, worked the steps. All of these tools, Action Partner, I started asking for help, and I got it. And I realized that my gift from God that I believe that I'm supposed to be doing is singing. So I started singing. And we're in Costa Rica, so there isn't really audiences here. So I just recently started a YouTube channel, and I'm singing. And we are moving, if it's God's will, to London. We did a trip there. And I am going to audition for West End and sing, where I believe that's what I'm meant to do. And it's because of this program, all of these blessings and miracles and grace, because I show up one day at a time being of service to God and my fellows. I don't debt, no matter what, I'm solvent, I'm debt free, thank you, God. And we literally have done all these amazing trips everywhere because we're mostly retired except for licensing deals. And then all these trips around the world, solvent, debt free. And it's a miracle. It's just literally a miracle that I get to live so joyfully and live the life of my dreams. I was literally living a nightmare, and it's like I'm not even the same person anymore. I'm also so grateful.
That's 15.
Okay, for all of you. And I just wanted to say, I always practice reaching up and reaching out. You know, if I just reach up, I just have a vertical line. And if I just reach out, I just have a horizontal line. I practice both on a daily basis. I'm so grateful. The steps, I still live in 10, 11, and 12, and they are a huge blessing. Sponsoring, being sponsored, all of that. They all work. God bless everybody with a really blessed and prosperous day, and I pass. Thanks so much, Greg.
Robin, thank you. Thank you so much for your share, your experience, strength, and hope. Our next speaker is Ernesto from Salt Lake City.
Okay. So for me, my name is Ernesto, and I'm a member of DA. I'm a debtor and an under-earner and overspender or whatever it is. Whatever it does for me at the end of the day to be broke, that's what I am. And so for me, DA, and when I first heard about DA, it was actually in the mid-90s, and I actually went to a meeting, and I remember somebody saying something, and I think it had to do with the PRG at the time, and I asked them what that was, and they says, well, we just, you know, we look at your numbers. And I took it like they look at my checking book and want to know how much I have or don't have. And I was like, yeah, this ain't for me. And I left, you know, I read the book that they had. It wasn't what we have now. And it had a few tips in there for me. And all I heard was, you know, the best thing to do is make more money. And that's what I just thought, you know what? And I've been in other 12-step programs for a long time. And, that's kind of was my introduction to DA. And then life went on. But for me, my DA journey, and I hope it never ends, and a path that I didn't even know existed, and a path that I believe came from a power greater than myself. And there's just so many coincidences for me to believe otherwise. So how my journey actually started was about a year ago, and and I haven't even got quite a year in this program. But about a year ago, I was going through one of the worst financial pitfalls that I had ever had, and I've had many. I've gotten out and had a pitfall and gotten out and had a pitfall, and. But the last thing that I tried that I thought that was going to make me rich and famous, and that was I was going to get a business for myself. And I'm in the construction trade, so I got into a drywall construction. I'd been doing it my whole life, and I thought, you know, this is how I'm going to, you know, retire. And that was 10 years ago, and ever since then, my life has just been a series of up and down and up and down and up and down. But as I look back, I know now that it has been something that has plagued me my whole life. And it's not that I'm not a blessed person or an unlucky person. It just seemed that the water bucket was always empty by the time I got to the flower bed. It didn't matter how much water I started with. It didn't matter how much I didn't have, but it was always near empty by the time I got there. And there were so many things that I did that let me know that I am really chaotic when it comes to money. And, 10 years ago, I got with the girl that I'm with now, who happened to be my childhood sweetheart. And somehow through Facebook, I was in New York at the time, and I was doing a job up in there, and things were going good, and I got on Facebook anyway. It seemed like everything was just hunky. I took care of money. The first time she saw me was a bill. Some bills came in the mail, and I got them, and I just threw them in the garbage. And she says, what was that? And I says, don't worry, they'll send me another one. And that's kind of how I took care of my bills. And it was always right at the end when, when I finally would make my light bill. I mean, my light bill was never a monthly thing. It was always a half yearly thing. When they were threatened to take off, you know, when they were threatened to shut me off, then I'd make a payment. And it was usually, you know, four times as much as it would have been. So that's kind of how I took care of my bill. Thank you, Greg. So anyway, last Easter, I went out to the desert, and by now, you know, things, you know, I was really feeling it. And, you know, because of that, whatever I went through last year, that was really getting to me. So last Easter, I went out to the desert on a mountain bike trip, and I just was on some old dirt roads out there, and I started to feel a weight on me that was just really tearing me apart. And I'm not suicidal or anything like that, but I just wanted to evaporate. I just wanted something, just, you know, beam me up, Scotty, just get me out of here, you know. And the only thing that really has really saved me is I've got such tremendous kids, and I've got tremendous grandkids. You know, none of them are, well, I take that back, but most of them are really not suffering from what I suffer from. And I thank God that they're not. And so to me, that's kind of when it happened. And I didn't even know that it really happened until after getting on this path, and I could look back and see that I had then been given what I keep hearing in the halls of DA is the gift of desperation. And at the end of the line of the gift of desperation, I finally saw that key of willingness. I finally saw that door that in the other program they'd been talking about for years. I finally saw it, and I finally opened it, and I finally seen the light. That doesn't mean that everything went hunky-dory right off the bat, but I saw it. And so on about May 17th on this other program, I went up to a GSR thing, and I was downloading what I thought was an AA book. I thought it was the 12 concepts of AA. And on the way home, when I plugged it in, when I, you know, pushed play, I started hearing the foreword of DA, of the 12, 12, and 12. And when I started to hear that, I could not believe that there was a program out there. I mean, I resonated, and I listened to every step all the way home. And then I downloaded the currency of, I looked up AA and I saw, or not AA, but DA, and I found the currency of hope, and I started to listen to those stories. Then I was able to find this website, this DA website, and I started to look at, and a whole door opened for me. I couldn't believe that there were so many DA meetings, and they were all online, and I started to listen to them. And one of the things that happened to me is, you know, when I was, you know, I'd been trying to keep track of my numbers. I knew that was a good thing, but I just couldn't do it. When a gentleman on a meeting says, I have a spreadsheet that might help you. And after the meeting, there was about seven other people on there, and he went to do something, and all of a sudden it disappeared. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? And so I got back on the meeting, and who is now my sponsor, he showed me a tool that I still use today. That was you know, 6 months ago or so, and I still use that tool every day, and that's the day that I found my sponsor. I didn't choose, and again, I don't know if DA chose me or if I chose it. And I don't know if my sponsor chose me or if I chose him, but that's when I started to see that this thing was really good. And that's when a light shined on my past, and I could see all of the that, you know, and I could see a wake of broken promises and, you know, destroyed opportunities. But the one thing that I could see is I had nobody to blame for it. And I realized that I was living in a mind of desperation. And that it was me that was doing it. I had no one to blame it on. I couldn't. Is that it, Greg? Okay. So that's kind of how it happened for me. And, you know, I could go on and on about how grateful I am for it, but something found me, and now I don't think there's a higher power, and I don't believe there's a higher power. I know there's a higher power. And this program, I hope I stay on this path, and I thank everybody who has been a part of my life, and I thank Greg for inviting me to. So anyway, thank you very much.
And Mary Jo, you are on for 15 minutes.
Hi, my name is Mary Jo, and I'm a grateful recovering debtor. I'm an under-earner, and I'm very vague about finances, and I also don't like living within my means. So this is the right program for me. I loved hearing the first two speakers. It's so wonderful to hear different people and how we get here. It's really remarkable. My story is a long sobriety in AA. I was sober for almost 30 years in AA. And for a while, my money was pretty good. I had a sponsor in AA who said the seventh tradition is we are self-supporting through our own contributions. And are you self-supporting, Mary Jo? And I said, not even close. And so she helped me get a job. And honest to God, I didn't want a job. I mean, I wanted somebody else to support me. And the joke of my friends in AA were, she asked me, you know, I had an interview of a job that I could live on. And I said, no, I wasn't going to take the job. And she asked me why. And I said, they weren't my kind of people. And she said, you mean employed? She said, Mary Jo, on one hand, hold up the number of fingers of people who are offering you a job on which you can live. And I held up one finger. And she said, and you're not going to take it. Well, I was embarrassed and I was newly sober. So I took the job. I swore I wouldn't be there more than a couple of months. It was at Home Depot, and I'm a horticulturist, and it turned out that I loved the job, and it was absolutely the right job for me, and I was there for 20 years. So my finances were pretty good. My house had been 5 months away from foreclosure. My kids were a wreck in terms of suffering from alcoholism, and I had my feet under me with a job and insurance and benefits, and I was able to pay my bills for the first time in my entire life. I had married an alcoholic. He had divorced me. I was his second wife. He had a third wife and a fourth wife. At this point, no money to support us. And I had been raised my family was wealthy, and I was well-educated, and I was one of those really smart idiots. Like, I had a high IQ, but my feet didn't touch the ground. So the practical part of life missed me completely. And I thought I was getting an education in taking care of myself financially, taking care of myself emotionally, but I got right back in the driver's seat. Somewhere around 10 to 15 years sober, I decided, you know, that's good enough. And so I was flipping houses. I was renovating them and losing money. And renovating one of the houses, I got very, very ill. I got lead poisoning, actually, from renovating an old Victorian house. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. Nobody else knew what was wrong with me because the symptoms were pretty strange. And I was unable to work for several months. It took almost 5 years to get a diagnosis. And at that point, I was destitute once again. And I was self-employed at this point because I couldn't work at Home Depot. I couldn't even stand on my feet for very long during the day. And I had just enough to live on, and I didn't know what I was going to do with myself. So I had bought one more house before this happened, and I was watching it, the roof cave in and the driveway kind of evaporate. And what had been the emotional high point of my life was my kids and my grandkids. And they were starting to grow up and they were moving out of the house. And I just got tireder and tireder. I thought it was because I was old. I thought it was because, you know, I was didn't like my life. And so I finally realized that one of the things I could do was I could sell the house. So I sold the house. Thank you. I sold the house, and somehow in the middle of the year, getting ready to sell the house, I knew that I was going to go to DA. Don't ask me how. I'd heard about it. I'd gone to one DA meeting. I thought this wasn't for me. I learned in AA that that phrase, this wasn't for me, probably means it is for me. If I don't want to do it, it's probably for me. If I do want to do it, probably shouldn't do it. But it took me about 6 months to, I was running my own business during the summer and getting ready to move. And I had a lot of stuff. I had, you know, my mother had died and my brother had died. And there was, everybody's house, stuff was in my house. So by the time I got things organized and cleared up, it was my birthday in November, and the closing was supposed to be the 14th of November, and the first meeting I went to was the 14th of November. And I went to the meeting, and it was a BDA meeting, and when I got home from the meeting, I discovered that the place I was supposed to live had fallen through, and I had nowhere to, I had nowhere to go. So I made arrangements to stay with my daughter, and I looked at rentals and things were too expensive for me, and it just made me want to cry. I couldn't believe I was 72 years old. I had worked all of my life and this is where I was going to wind up. It was awful. And I had that sinking sick feeling of awareness that obviously since I hadn't made any provisions for myself for retirement, I had just planned to hang myself around my kids' necks, right? Because if I hadn't done anything, then what did I think was going to happen? I just couldn't believe that the person I was looking at in the mirror was actually me. And my daughter had an interesting thing to say to me. She said, have you seen any place that you'd like to live? And I said, yeah, I saw one place. And she said, why don't we go there? Why don't we go look at it? And then it's your birthday, and then we'll go out to lunch. So we came to this little house, and the landlord was renovating the house. He hadn't finished yet. And I knocked on the door, and he invited me in, and he asked, I introduced my daughter, and he said to my daughter, your mom doesn't remember me, but I remember her. And when I came to this country 18 years ago, she worked at Home Depot in the garden department. And I was trying to be a contractor. I was a little kid. I was 20 years old. I hardly spoke any English. She spoke about 12 words of Polish, mostly food. And we laughed. And she introduced me to the best person in the plumbing department and the best person in the kitchens department and the people who might be able to help me in my contracting business as I built it. And he said, as time went on, I came and I asked her for advice on all kinds of things. And she never said no, and she always had plenty of time. So he turned to me, and he said, how much can you afford to rent? And I told him, and he said, I would be honored to have you rent my house. And I'm in this beautiful little house in a wonderful, wonderful little town in Connecticut. And I was there for a couple of years and discovered that I was so tired because I had severe heart disease. And I had a huge heart attack and surgery. And all this time, I was doing my own business, which was slowly earning $7,000 or $8,000 more every year, just a little bit more year after year. I was in the program for 2 years, and I got solvent, and 2 more years of really touch and go, but I stayed solvent. And then after I had the heart attack, my higher power is just adorable. I was in the emergency room, and not the emergency room, but the intensive care unit. And all of a sudden, I look up and the sky is really blue and it's a beautiful day. And there's this voice next to me that says, it's an announcer kind of guy, you know, and he's got thick glasses on. And he says, this is the third step of Alcoholics Anonymous. Do you want to still be here on this planet? And I was very enthusiastic. And I said, yes, yes, I do. And then the voice said, well, then from now on, we'll be taking care of everything. And the next thing I know, the sky isn't blue anymore. There's a, funny looking light over me. And I realize I have wires and, you know, tubes coming out of me. And my nurse looks at me and says, well, that was really interesting. And I thought, oh, I wonder if they could hear. And it, honestly, I was so cheerful and so happy. You would not thought I had just had heart surgery. I had this lovely feeling for the first time in my life that I could wholeheartedly give myself to the life that I was living. I was 76 years old. And I mean, it's such a remarkable thing to think that at that age, I would have the most vivid experience of being alive that I've had in my whole life. So the 2 years since then, business went really well the first year, and I think that was a gift. And then last year was really difficult, and not for me. My partner had long COVID, so I was doing her job. And my foreman, his wife was very ill, and I was doing part of his job. And my daughter was getting a divorce, so I was doing a lot of emotional support thing, and there was some abuse in the circumstance. So my grandsons and she were living at my house on and off. So it was really difficult and emotionally kind of fraught and up and down. But for some reason, I can sponsor people. I can be sponsored. I can work the steps. The steps have changed my life in a way that makes me, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm aware of how I got here, what happened to me, the gift I've been given, the hope I have for my life. I mean, who has a future at 78? This is so cool. I love this. And my health is better than it's been in the last 6 years, which is amazing. And the emotional turmoil, I talk to people, I do my PRGs, I lead meetings in the wintertime when I'm not working. My friends in DA and AA are some of the best people in the world. And this gift of freely interacting with people, of not living in the corner with my own ideas and feeling that I have no help and that nobody's, I can't figure out what to do all by myself. I don't have to do that anymore. This program has been the most remarkable gift. And what I love is it's been a gift for my family. My son the other day was saying, I said something about, I wanted to make sure that my documents were in place and he would know what to do with my money when it was time. He goes, Mom, you don't have any money. And I said, I finally hit $100,000 in my retirement account this year. And he looked at me and goes, who are you and what have you done with my mother? And so I've seen my stepson at a couple of meetings in the BDA group. He and his wife are going. And we all got together as a family one Sunday in January to do documents so that every one of us would have a will and a trust. So we're all working together on a program that I bought that allows us all to fill out all the documents that we need so that there won't be any questions if anything happens and when anything happens to us. And the lack of fear that's come into my life since getting into this program is remarkable. And the other thing I thought, in 30 years of AA, the shame that I felt about who I was never went away. And in 6 months of BA, doing my numbers and doing the next right thing, it started to evaporate. And it's not really a part of my life right now. I definitely know that if I don't do my, you know, go to my meetings and do all the things that I'm supposed to do, then I will get off track. I had some trouble last summer where I was trying to strong arm a client, you know, just total ego driven, wanted a big number at the end of this contract. And I damn near wrecked my whole business. So I am aware that I can't get too hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Self-care is a major part of my program because I cannot be spiritual if I am not physically and spiritually fit. So I think that's enough out of me. And thank you all for being here and being part of this wonderful program.
Mary Jo, thank you so much for that share. And I want to thank all our speakers today, Robin, Ernesto, Mary Jo. Thank you very, very much for your service today.